It's Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Kayak Fishing Radio Show, the Double L Edition. Hope everybody's doing well. They're still piling in the chat room here. For all you guests out there, you can use your Facebook account or to log in, and then you'll be able to chat with us. Am I echoing? Is it cleared up now? Echo gone? Echo, echo, echo.
I don't hear no echo. Chip?
All right, well, no echo. Is there an echo? Isn't there an echo? Where's the sound? You have to hit play up top if you're in, if you got here by kayakfishingradio.com. On the very top, yep, hit play after you refresh. All right, like I said, everybody's still filing in the chat room. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'd be flattered to think you're all here just because of Chris and I, but I know you're waiting to hear from our guest tonight, too. We have a great repeat offender on our guest list tonight. Luther with Yak Attack will be here. We're going to talk about their tournament this past weekend, and then he's got some new Yak Attack stuff to talk about tonight. So y'all want to stick around for that for sure. So anyway, we'll get right to it. Chris, how's it going on the other side? Everything calmed down on the farm out there? We had the little panic right before the show.
I got a headache.
You got a headache, yeah.
I got a headache. This is until I got out. It's just been one of those days, you know. Anything that's gone wrong has gone wrong. And did I mention the chinchilla got out of her cage?
Yeah, about 2 minutes before the show, we have a chinchilla amongst other critters in the house, and critter just got out of the cage, so a little pandemonium here. But we're all back. Everybody's caged and locked down, tied to a tree or whatever, so we're going to move along here. We'll start with tonight. Well, we'll start with the usual here just because I like to bring it out, and we'll mention it, I'm sure, other times tonight. But to mark your calendar, I know we talked about it last night on Chuck's show, but we have the upcoming Boondoggle. It's upcoming now. It's getting real close. So make sure you guys are marking your calendars for the weekend of October 5th through the 8th. If we have any new listeners here tonight, what the heck is a boondoggle? Uh-oh, my button presser is not pressing any buttons. Chris, where'd you go? I lost my host. All right. She's in the bubble. All right, anyway, so the boondoggle, what is a boondoggle? Boondoggle is nothing more than an event where we're all going to get together and we're going to go fishing. So no tournament, no fees here in Virginia Beach this time. First Landing State Park is what we're kind of calling the headquarters area because that's pretty much the central location for us here. You can be anywhere in a matter of minutes, literally, from the First Landing State Park, Chesapeake Bay, Lynn Haven, Rudy, several freshwater lakes around. So no matter what kind of fishing you like to do from your kayak, I think you'll be able to do it here. I've been mentioning that October is the time of the year around here that we really have some of the best fishing. That's why the week before we have our annual TKA tournament that's going to be held here. And that's, like I said, the week before the event. And then it's just the best time, really it is. So we're looking forward to it. Got a lot of people already signed up. People are already booking cabins. I know Chuck Levi there, the Redfish Chuck, he said yesterday on his show that he has booked a cabin at First Landing. I believe Chip and I were talking the other day. There was only a couple left, and Chuck just got one. So if you're thinking about getting a cabin here, you better do it while there's still a couple left. But there's plenty of accommodations to stay here. We got hotels coming out of your ears at the oceanfront, campgrounds at the oceanfront. Anybody prior military or active duty, retired, I should say, or active duty that still carries a card, or some places to stay on the bases. Got an open mic there, Chris. You there, Chris?
I'm here.
All right, cool.
What was it? I was talking to you a minute ago.
You missed your button.
We have like a ton of people calling in, and Woody is on the road to Colorado. He's listening in. So Luther is with us. I've got all these numbers popping up. Wanted to make sure who we were talking to. What was I supposed to hit?
I was talking about the boondoggle. So,
okay, I got it.
But I didn't know.
Boondoggle. 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 What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
All right. Well, there you go. So, yeah, if you go to yakangler.com/boondoggle/kayak fishing radio/boondoggle, and we also have a thread going on the tka.org site under boondoggle. So any information, anything you can get from there, if you have a question, anything that we here can help you out with, please don't hesitate to contact us. We'll be glad to help you and booking accommodations, telling you where, what's going on, and type of gear. I've already had people calling and emailing me what type of rods, reels, things like that to bring. So we'll be looking forward to having everybody here in Virginia Beach. It's going to be a great time. Got a lot of our heavy hitters in the area that have already signed up to say they'll take you out to the bridge tunnel, and Kayak Kevin will be aboard, Chad Hoover, several others out there will be around. So should be a good time. So make plans, clear your calendar, and come on up for that weekend, October 5th through the 8th, Columbus Day weekend. Columbus didn't land here. Captain John Smith landed here, but we're going to do it that weekend. All right, so what we got going on? This past weekend, I missed the event that we're going to talk about a little later on in the show, Yak Attacks Tournament. I had a demo day to do for Wild River Outfitters with Native Watercraft. Projected to be a crappy weather day, ended up turning out to be beautiful, nice. We had a lot of people coming out, a lot of people putting in, as we always call it, butts in boats, a lot of trying out. So I haven't heard any numbers from it yet, but I think they probably had a pretty good day for Wild River. Those are always fun, the demo days, and get to meet a lot of new people, people trying out kayaks, upgrading, or first boats. So I love sharing all that with them and get to see a lot of people you only see at demo days, reps from other companies, and so it's a lot of fun. Speaking of demo days, we got another one coming up real close, the Appomattox River Company's demo day in Farmville, Virginia. It'll be on June 9th. For information on that, go to paddleva.com. and get everything you need there to go to Appomattox's demo day. William Ragaluski just put up in the chat room, over 300 people attended the demo day this past weekend, so that's pretty good numbers there. A lot of first-time purchases. Yeah, I had a lot of people. You know, it's kind of funny. I had a lot of people talking to us, and a lot of people are just kayaking in general. It goes through trends, it seems like, but it wasn't so much anglers as much as just people that wanted to kayak and just get out on the water. Had quite a few people interested, obviously, in fishing kayaks, but a lot of families and a lot of people that just looking for something new to do, and the kayaks in general are taking off. So that was really cool. Stand-up paddle boards, had a lot of people playing on those, and so it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think that it was probably – I think they probably did well that weekend selling some boats. Everybody's catching on, so very cool. So if you're in the Farmville area or in this part of Virginia, you want to come to the Appomattox River Company's demo day, we'll be there all day. Love to see you there. Come try out some boats. Have some fun. They got seminars going on all day, too, there on fishing seminars. There's a full schedule on Appomattox website, so check it out and see what's going on. Real quick, I just wanted to mention I got a pretty nice little package today from Aqua Dreams. If you guys aren't aware of Aqua Dreams Living Spoons, they make, my opinion, and a lot of other people's I've been reading up on, they've been doing great, but they have a new pinfish pattern, and I'm going to put the link up here. And Captain Mike just sent me a box of them, and they came today, so that was a pretty nice surprise in the mail, but these things look hot. I think they're going to be a real good catcher for this upcoming year. So putting the link up there to Aqua Dream Living, go down and look at that new pinfish spoon. Looking pretty cool. So, yeah, so go check out Aqua Dream Living. Those spoons are pretty bad right there. What else we got? Fishing reports. Get to this fishing reports, and then we'll get to our guest, because I know he's probably got a lot to share with us tonight. Been crazy weather here, if you're not local. We've had rain, we've had sun, we've had all kind of stuff. The water's been muddy and been warm, but then it gets cool. I don't know what's going on. It's not as bad as last month was, but kind of past couple weeks here have been a little crazy. But still the usual suspects over on the shoals, red drum, black drum. Go out there and get those all the way up to cabbage patch. I know the black drum are. Chris's bait and tackle has been weighing in several 30 to 40 pounds range lately on the black drum. What else we got out there? Flounder bite. Flounder hasn't taken off great, but they're still coming in, so it should be getting better, like I've been saying all along, and it's probably going to improve here once the next storm front goes through. One of the cool things we've got is some sightings of cobia out there, so that's a good sign. We got the cobia coming in already, and the Chesapeake Bay spring striper season is now in effect, so if you guys are striper fishing out there now, you can get two fish, one between 18 and 28 inches, and one of those can be over 32, so you got that 28 to 32 inch range, put it back. So next time you go, you'll probably catch a lot of them right at 31 and three quarters if you're lucky. No, I'm just joking. But, yeah, so don't forget that. The Chesapeake Bay regs for springtime fishing are in effect now. So, and that shouldn't be a problem. I know there's a lot of them around. So get out there and get on those stripers, croaker. All those usual suspects are out there now. Croaker's been getting better. I saw somebody the other day put up a nice report of a lot of good-sized croaker up in the James River. We also have trout. Trout are all over the place. I haven't been hearing as much about bluefish lately. It's about that time for them to slow down a little. I know they're catching them all the way, trout, that is, all the way up towards Mobjack. And so pretty good out there, if you can get out there, if it's not raining or blowing, one of the two. So we've had 2 days straight of rain and more coming, I think, tomorrow. So hopefully it'll clear up by the weekend, Memorial Day weekend coming up, and everybody will be get out there and enjoy the fishing that we got going on. Anyway, moving along, what else is going on your end there, Chris? You got a bunch of phone calls coming in?
Yeah, you don't want me to talk.
Why?
We've got a slew of people. Actually, William Regaluski is on the line. We've got Redfish Chuck with us. Jay Brooks is also listening in from work. Of course, we won't tell anybody. So he's just listening in. I've got him on mute, but he's on the line. Kayak
Very
Fish
cool.
Pa. I'm not sure who that is, but welcome. So you got Luther, William, and Chuck are all live.
All right, let's see if any of those live guys before Luther got anything good going on. Mr., we'll start at the bottom and work our way up. Chuck down in Florida, what's going on? Chuck, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, brother. How's it going?
It's going all right. Doing well, I guess, considering things. And like I just said, we've been having rain and crappy weather today on top of having to go jump start cars, but we're doing good. We're hanging in there.
Yeah, I won't mention the fact that today I caught baby snook and tarpon on a fly rod.
I thought you weren't going to mention that.
Sorry,
all
man.
Right,
you guys
way to rub
get
it in.
Bad weather. Yeah, you guys got to get all the bad weather now to make room to make way for the boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle.
That's right. I don't know how long you've been tuned in, but
boondoggle.
I've been everybody.
Boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that you and another friend of yours with your spouses have reserved your cabin for the event.
Yeah, me and my buddy Chris Flores, who joined us down in Chokoleski. Chris is a world-renowned videographer, Emmy-nominated camera guy, so I'm looking forward to him joining us up there, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, hopefully he's bringing his cameras and he can get us some good footage while he's up here. Yeah, I saw that, Chris. It's okay. He'll be back. We just lost our guest. His call dropped, so he'll call us back. So you caught some snook and baby tarpon today, huh? Where'd you do that at?
Out by the mosquito lagoon. There's an area out there, an estuary, if you will. And it was this is the time of year where they start to kind of show up. I was actually really, really excited about seeing the snook because we lost thousands of them over the last couple of winters. And these are just little juveniles, which is always a good sign. Whenever you find juvenile fish, you know that there's some breeders still hanging around. So good stuff, man.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, let's see what else we got in line there. Let's get Luther back on the phone. Oh, he's back. All right, cool. Juan, we got Juan on there. I'm going to give Juan a couple minutes because Juan just got back from his Devil's Run trip. So maybe we'll have to get you back on another time, Juan. But give us a quick little synopsis on that trip you just took. How you doing, Juan?
Good, buddy. Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear.
Loud and clear? Okay, great. Wow, I can't say enough about it. I probably could talk about 2 hours about all the fishing and all the things that happened on the river. It was quite an adventure. It was kind of neat because there was actually a video crew from Animal Planet that left the day before we went down the river. We never made contact with them because they were a day ahead of us. But I guess that goes to show like what kind of run that is and what kind of river it is and you know and how remote it is. And the fishing was phenomenal. We really, really, really had a great time. The camping, fishing, the desert, the river, the water. It was all incredible.
Very cool. Yeah, I kept up with you guys on Facebook and saw all your pictures and your travels and all. It looked like an exciting trip.
It was. We had a lot of challenges. We had several lightning storms that we had to deal with, and Sean probably knows all about those, being from Texas. And when we had a hailstorm on the last morning at about 5:30 or so in the morning come in, the hail was as big as golf balls almost.
Wow.
Dented up our water bottles, busted through some of my tackle boxes. It was pretty intense, let's just say that. Lightning storm and
broke
hail.
Broke your tackle boxes?
Yeah, it blasted holes right in the tackle boxes. I have pictures to prove it, too. If you check out my Facebook page, I have a picture of one of my tackle boxes, and there's actually hail inside of it. And, you know, you can see it through the hole, the side of the tackle box sitting there.
Man, you have to take a helmet on the next trip.
I know. It was pretty intense for a while. We had to take cover under the scrub brush with the armadillos. So it was pretty good.
Now you know why they got a shell, don't you? See?
Exactly.
You're learning how Mother Nature works.
Oh yeah. Well,
very cool. Yeah, let's plan to do that, Juan. Would you like to come on one night and you can kind of give us a little more?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, not a problem.
Get some links together, and we can kind of talk about your trip and put links up and pictures to all your stuff that you guys had going on. Because I'd really love to hear more about it. I know, like I said, I and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and people in the chat room followed you on Facebook and seemed pretty cool. I don't do any freshwater, but it seemed like a pretty cool trip there. I don't think I could do every night like that. I could probably have ran one day, one night, and one more day, and then I'd be looking for a Motel 6 or a Super 8 or something. But
well,
I'm
the
sure
problem is
pretty cool.
Once you're in that river, you're not getting out till the end because it's very remote. So unless you fly in a helicopter or something, but. So you're there, but it was definitely cool. Now we'll be putting video up on our blog that we had, and I know Brent's one of the team members is editing it now, and we're going to be putting out a lot more pictures and a lot more about the trip because I kept a journal when I was on the trip of every day the things that happened, and I have that and I need to transpose that out to the blog. But I think we'll post the video, the blog stuff, and all the pictures pretty much at the same time. We'll kind of blast the link out, and it'd probably be good to do the show after we have that all set up. So I'll kind of keep you posted on that, okay?
All right, let's do that. Yeah, stay in touch, and as soon as you're ready and you want to do it, just give us a shout, and we'll get you on. That'd be great. Look forward to it.
Awesome.
Very cool. All right, we'll hang out there and stick with us, and we'll go ahead and get to our guest here. I don't really need to introduce our guest tonight. If you've been kayaking for any longer than a week, you probably know all about Yak Attack and everything that Luther is making up there in Farmville, Virginia now at his new location. Products come out quicker than you can turn around, I think. I don't know. It seems like he's nonstop up there. I don't know how he does it. I'm waiting to go see the new store when I do the demo day. Hopefully I'll get a quick tour or be able to go by there and see, because I got a feeling there's probably about 500 employees and, I don't know, a factory the size of GM or something, the way things come out of there. But I know that's not true, but sometimes Luther amazes me how quick he knocks out something, and before that's even completely done, he's got something else coming out. So, like I said, I'm not going to give a big introduction, to Luther. We all know pretty much who Luther is. So, Luther, we got you back on. That storm wiped you out for a second, huh?
Yeah, it's hammering down here.
Is it?
You just described the way I start projects, similar to the way my wife describes it. I'm really good at starting stuff. Finishing sometimes is a challenge, but starting stuff is awful fun.
Now, you're talking about projects around the house, or are you talking about Yak Attack?
Well, Yak Attack, I've got a lot more people that keep me on track. But, yeah, we're having a good time over here.
Well, very cool. So you just got done. I know you had your big tournament this past weekend up there, and why don't you go ahead and fill us all in on the ins and the outs of what went on during your event this weekend. Unfortunately, Chris and I, we had it on the calendar before anything else, and then the demo day popped up and had to do our obligation to Native, or I should say my obligation there to Native, and go stand in a sand all day. So we weren't able to attend, but how'd the event go? I kept up with you too on Facebook and pictures. It seemed like you guys had a good turnout and seemed like a lot
of fun. Yeah, it was. I think we had right at 60 anglers, and then they took – I was back at the headquarters, the campsite, cooking all day on Saturday, but so I didn't go out to Sandy where they had the vets out, but I know they took quite a few vets out too over there at Sandy. So – yeah, it was a real good turnout. It's kind of cool to see, you know, a few people brought their kids this time and fished with them. You know, hopefully maybe we'll have enough kids to have a youth division next year. But, yeah, it was really good. The weather week before last, you know, we had some spots of rain, and then right now it's hammering down on Farmville. So we're real fortunate to have a good stretch of, picture-perfect weather. Some of the guys who pre-fished Friday said it was blowing a little bit across Briary, but Saturday was real nice. You know, it's good weather for camping, good weather for hanging out. You know, that's a big part of this event is the campsite atmosphere.
I saw the picture you put up with the big screen. Y'all were sitting around. What was that, Friday night watching movies?
My buddy Bob, that's whose property we're on there. He's got one of these projectors, and he actually has a 10-foot by 20-foot, like, you know, movie theater size screen, but for that he just pulled out it's like 6 feet wide or something like that and hung it up on one of the little pop-up tents there. And we played Jeff Little's video, and we were going to play some stuff that Rob Choi put together, but I guess the format, he couldn't get that to work, so we'll try to prepare a little bit more for that next year. But yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, you know, this is still such a small sport, you know, it's kind of cool, you know, we know all the celebrities, you know, so it's kind of cool to get together like that and watch our buddies fishing.
Really cool. Was Jeff there?
No, Jeff wasn't there. No.
Okay. You had some people travel, though. I know Sean, who's in the chat room tonight from Texas, he was there. I know you had people from southern North Carolina, Georgia. You had people come from all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a gang of guys come down from New Jersey. Sean flew the Big Bird out from Texas. So, yeah, it was cool. And like I said, I think everybody just had a really good time. We put more focus on the – the atmosphere and the social side of it than we do the competition. We had a lot of prizes. I mean, we had a lot of prizes. We gave away two kayaks. We had Bass Pro Shops donated an Ascend. Appomattox River Company donated a Tarpon 100. Then we had Tina, you know, she does so much work the months leading up to this to make all these prizes and things possible. And one of the things, I don't know exactly how she found them, but there's somebody up in, I think they're maybe out of Jersey, it's called Fish and Wildlife Unlimited Taxidermy. And they provided what, as far as I've ever seen, the coolest fishing trophies, you know, you can imagine. I mean, they were just phenomenal. So we had those. Those were actually, you know, a lot of the times trophies are, you know, little plastic trophies and, you know, they're kind of cool or whatever. But this is something you really want to keep and take care of. It was really, really incredible. And then
Chris commented on that on the Facebook pictures. Chris, that was the first thing she noticed was those trophies and how cool they look. Because you had, and they were what, trophies for each species too. So they weren't just a generic. They had the fish of the species that they'd won, correct?
That's right. There was a bluegill, crappie, and largemouth. And then there was a kind of a big largemouth trophy for the slam. So, yeah, that was really cool. And we had, you know, there were a lot of other sponsors that really stepped up, too. Hobie sent us a LiveWell. We had some, HD video sunglasses from Sportsman's Eyewear. You know, Adventure Technologies, Confluence. You know, Alan donated some artwork. We had Tektite send us some stuff. I think Fish Grip, they sent us a whole case of fish grips. I think maybe one of those went in each captain's bag. And then, you know, paddles, bending branches, Aquabon. Jeff Dunham, for the second or third year in the row, he sent up a, what's the little, I can't remember his name, but it's the little puppet that Achmed,
oh,
I think his name
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the quiz.
And then, Achmed. And, yeah. And then Applebee's, you know, they sent stuff for, like, you know, silverware and stuff like that, and then polar coolers. Some really nice captain bags for the vets. So there was a lot of people who came together and make this happen. You know, it's kind of like an orchestra, you know, and Tina was there kind of keeping it all, you know, going in good harmony. And it really, really came together well.
Everybody's chiming in the chat room. I don't know if you're watching the chat room or not, but everybody's chiming in now. And Achmed, silence, I kid you. Yeah, that's Alan won that, did he not?
I'm not sure who won Achmed.
I thought Alan put a picture up that he had won the Achmed puppet. So.
Yeah,
well,
he probably
did. He'll shine in. Very cool. Very cool.
So, yeah, it was good, man. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we put a pretty good spread out Friday night. We had Jerry Long sent me some. Jerry used to be a chef. So he's a pretty good cook. He sent me a really good rib rub, and we did ribs and ribeyes on Friday night. Really good time. It's funny, last minute I threw together a seafood chowder. That lasted about 10 minutes. I thought I had made too much food, but when it was all over with, I was kind of shaking in my boots there for a minute. We ended up with 1.5 steaks, I think, is all we had left. So we cut it close, but it was enough, and everybody had a good time. And after that, we put a, I think it was a 150-pound hog on the smoker, and he cooked until after the photos were done, and then we had another spread on Saturday. So it was real good. Everybody enjoyed it.
So if you walked away from that event hungry, you're an idiot, huh?
Yeah, you know, I had a couple of people say, next time I'm going to bring a change of clothes that's one size bigger.
Hey. Very cool. Well, that's a reason enough for me to attend. I like to eat, so heck, I'll come to eat.
Well, I tell you, Mark, my brother and I, we used to go down to Charlotte Motor Speedway next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, for the Coca-Cola 600. And, you know, it was fun watching the race, but we would go down, like, Thursday and just spend a few days in the campground grilling, talking to people, you know, just kind of relaxing. And that was kind of when we first started this tournament back in 2009, that was the kind of atmosphere we wanted to create. And I think it's there. I mean, it was this time I would say it went better and smoother and everything than it ever has. Bill Whitley came in a day early. He helped me set up the site. You know, when I was running back and forth doing stuff, you know, he parked people and made sure everybody knew where to camp. It was really good. A lot of people pitched in to help.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad it went the way it did for you guys. You had good weather and a good turnout. So give us some of the rundown. Who won what? What was the big fish that you had brought in? I saw pictures of people holding trophies, but I didn't really get any details out of the event.
Yeah, so the person who made the biggest impact was Chris Donovan. He won the Slam. He won the Slam. It was a Bass Crappie Sunfish Slam. He won that with 36 1/4 inches. And then he won third place bass at 17 7/8. He won first place crappie at 9 3/4, and he won first place sunfish with a little 9 1/2 inch pig.
Wow.
And then the bass division, that was the other one that everybody was kind of paying a lot of attention to. Chuck Wren won that, won a Tarpon 100. I think he's going to put his son in that. That was pretty cool. And that was the biggest largemouth. That was 19 inches. And then we had Matt Gookin won a largest fish caught of a wilderness boat. Wildy did a Wind with Wildy challenge where they the person with the largest fish out of a Wildy boat gets a $100 Harmony gift certificate. So Matt won that with a 19 3/4, can't remember what it was, maybe a pickerel. And then as far as big fish, Dan Hart with his fly rod, he caught a 36 inch carp. So he got the largest fish prize and he got the largest fish on the fly. That thing was huge on the fly rod. That was pretty cool.
What did he have on? Do you know by any chance what he had tied on?
No, I don't. I sure don't.
I've just been curious.
Yeah.
Got that scat carp around here.
So yeah, it was good, man. It was awesome. And you know, like I said, I can't say enough about the help that we got. I mean, Tina and Jim, you know, just taking care of, you know, all that prizes and set up, and you know, it's just so much work there. My wife Vicky, a lot of people don't realize how much work she does behind the scenes. I mean, she spent, you know, 2 days not just doing her own preparation, but orchestrating with my mom and my sister, who helped out with some of the cooking and stuff. You know, like I said, Bill parking people and kind of keeping the site straight. Jerry helped him out some and got us some of the rib rubs. So it was really cool to have all those people pitch in and help make all the details work out.
Yeah, we know how that goes about those women. You know what they say, behind every good man stands a better woman. So here's big shout out for Vicky. I'm sure she did a lot that people did not see.
Absolutely. Well, and a lot that people did see, too. She was busy as a bee the whole time she was there. The day, you know, Saturday after, you know, everybody was out of the food line and kind of, you know, finished with dessert and kind of, kind of starting to get that, you know, post-dinner coma going on. And I walked over and asked her if she had anything. She was like, no, in a minute. Like, you know, just no rest for the weary. But, you know, she enjoyed it too. I mean, people always say stuff like this and it sounds kind of corny, but you know, it's a privilege to serve the people that, you know, that you care about and your friends and stuff like that. I mean, it's, you know, to put forth an effort and see everybody appreciate it and have a good time. You know, you take a lot away from that, you know, and we do every year.
Yeah, no, that's,
we hope to make it next year. Hopefully,
well, I hope you do.
Better. We really want it to come. That was one of the first things when I saw it come up on TK. I said, oh, Mark, we got to go this year. And you know, we're not big freshwater people, but yeah, just for the fact that it would have been another event to support Howe, and we can play a bluegill here and there. We would have loved to come next year for sure.
Well, that's the other big story. I mean, I don't know exactly. We don't have the exact final numbers yet because some of the stuff was, some of the funds were in entries and some of the funds were in raffles and things like that. We've got to get together on that in the next couple of days. But it looks like we raised, it's between $3,000 and $4,000 for Heroes on the Water.
Wow.
So, yeah, cool. For a tournament of that size with 60 people, I mean, that just shows you people really, you know, gave. I mean, the raffle tickets and stuff, people were very generous, and, yeah, it was cool.
Well, great job, everyone, anytime. And it goes to show this kayak community, I've always said it, we're, it's a tight community no matter which way you flip it, whether it's for things like that in the charity world or just in fishing in general, the people who matter to each other, they all stick behind each other. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that you had a great event. And no matter what your dollar figure was, anything you give back, as you know, is greatly appreciated by the Howe organization. But that's outstanding, man. I'm really glad to hear that. Very cool. So on from that, do you have any more you want to share with us on the tournament, or are we going to move on?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I hope we see it grow again next year. I think last year we had 38 register. This year, 60. So, you know, we're hoping next year to get 75. And we're trying to, that's another thing we're trying to decide over the next few days here. You know, if we get, just based on parking and space alone, the little oasis that we have that Bob lets us use every year, it's just so perfect, and we're running very close to not having enough space, you know, and having to move it. So we're considering next year actually going ahead and just capping it at 75. We don't want it to get so big that it gets too formal, because that kind of defeats the whole purpose. And like I said, we really like that little oasis back there, and to keep it, you know, to keep it as friendly and as, you know, not that bigger tournaments aren't friendly, but you know what I mean, as close contact as it is, you know, we're considering that, but we're just trying to decide that over the next few days here.
Luther, Sunjammers in the chat room just suggested turn it into an invitational.
Yeah, that's it, yep. Actually, I know Kayak Bass Fishing is doing something like that now. They've got an invitational and they've got an open for a big bass tournament. I mean, really, I think next year, 75 is probably, based on the growth we've seen from the first year, that's probably about what we'll hit anyway. But that'll also that'll help us plan a little better, knowing how many people we're going to have, and it'll encourage people to go ahead and get registered earlier. I think people don't realize sometimes how much the tournament organizers kind of start sweating with a month to go, you know, trying to figure, okay, how much of this do we need to get? How much space do we need to have, you know? And, you know, it's definitely makes it easier to plan when we know a little earlier. So, you know, all in all, either way it goes, I think it'll work out well and continue to be a lot of fun.
Also, here's another question in the chat room, again from our Florida friends that will be up here for the boondoggle. Question is, Luther, are you coming to the boondoggle?
The boondoggle, when is it?
That's the weekend after the TKA tournament. It's the Columbus Day weekend.
Well, I have a hard time planning next week. So I guess it's going to depend on what's going on at the time. I'd love nothing more than to go down there. Actually, my plan this year was to fish. You know, we Yak Attack sponsors most of the kayak fishing tournaments in the country. Most of the ones the only ones we haven't sponsored are the ones that haven't asked us. But I said, you know, this year I'm going to, you know, the ones that are within driving distance, I'm going to definitely go fish them. And so far,
well, Luther,
I'm 0 for about 10.
Luther, technically speaking, the boondoggle is really not a tournament. It's an opportunity for people to get together, families, hopefully. We're hoping people bring their children to just in a friendly, non-competitive manner go fishing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just, my problem is getting away.
I'd be more than happy to hit you up. Are you willing to commit to be a sponsor for the Boondoggle?
All right.
Yeah, if you guys
on.
Are taking sponsorships, absolutely.
We are. Actually, we're taking sponsorship and donations for the Boondoggle because we are going to have captain's bags. We're hoping to have stuff, you know, just for the children, that people that do bring their kids. We're going to have raffles.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't, like I said, I honestly don't remember ever turning down the opportunity to participate in anything like that. You know, that's the heart and soul of the sport, you know. We'd love to be a part of it.
Awesome. Very I appreciate
cool.
it. Thank you, Luther.
You're welcome.
All right. And that's why I married her, right there. Well, very cool. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you, Luther. That's great. And everybody will definitely put you in the list there. We appreciate that. So, speaking of Yak Attack, so talk to us. What's going on? I know you're just as busy as could be, but what's going on over there at Yak Attack?
Well, we've actually got a lot of stuff going on. We just got through a new mold build with the new Mighty Mount. I think a lot of people have seen that. Doesn't really change anything with the previous version. It's the same hull pattern. They're still, you know, forward and backward compatible. But we changed it to flush mount screws, got away from the button head screws, made a couple of small changes to the geometry and stuff. Just made it, I think, cleaned up the appearance a little bit, made it a little bit better looking mount. And at the same time, we tooled up our new backing plate. It's called the Fullback. And we've got a Fullback backing plate for the Mighty Mount, and we've got one for the gear track. You know, the gear track you install with self-threaders, and there's a lot of people, you know, I get calls probably or emails at least weekly from somebody asking, well, is it really going to hold if I'm trolling for striper, you know? And we always go through the explanation, but one thing I've learned in product development is if customers have a concern, rather than, you know, try to convince them one way or another, it's better just to address the concern. So, and then the other thing we had is people that wanted to use gear tracks for things like, you know, attaching outriggers or, you know, really heavy, heavy-duty type applications that, you know, really wasn't designed for. So we went ahead and made a backing plate for that, and we made a backing plate for the Mighty Mount. So that's pretty cool. The only reason we haven't put those on the market yet is because we have to do some install videos. When we launch a new product, one thing we've learned is that it generates a lot of emails and phone calls. So just to make it a little, you know, a little more manageable and to kind of have the answers ready, we want to go ahead and have a YouTube video that shows how to do the install. And using them in a conventional manner where you just hold it, you know, under there and put the screws in, that's self-explanatory. But at the same time, we're going to launch the rigging bullet. A lot of people saw that video that we put out real early this year, maybe the end of last year. We got a lot of emails and phone calls on that. But those rigging bullets are ready now as well. So okay. All that stuff's going to be launching here in the next, well, as soon as we get time to do a video, it'll probably be the next week or two. I've got a couple of warranty boats in the shop here. I think we're just going to take a Sawzall and cut the side out of one of them so you can see what's going on inside really clearly and go ahead and do a real good install video, and then we'll get those out on the market. So, yeah, that's going to be a real plus. The first kayak I ever rigged, I wanted to put a rod holder, and I couldn't get nuts and washers on it, you know, and I wasn't comfortable using pop rivets. So I know it's been a problem for a lot of people, so hopefully the problem, you know, the problem days are just about over for that one. And then
well,
on the
cool.
horizon.
That's one thing I like about you, Luther, and I'm not saying it because you're our guest tonight, but you try to see every avenue for things like that, and that's what makes it better because, you know, nobody's rigging just one style of kayak out there so that you put that much thought into it because, you know, it's easy to make a product and say, here you go, stick it on your boat however you can, but to make it better and make it easier for all boats because, I mean, this sport has grown so much and even with the kayaks that are out there, even the manufacturers are improving on their boats and making different models all the time. It probably gets to be a headache for you because every time you turn around, somebody's making a different boat or a different style or improving or changing something. So to make things
thing
like that,
been,
that work.
With the manufacturers, one thing that's been, it was really unexpected and it's been really cool is, you know, we actually get calls on a fairly regular basis, calls and emails from the manufacturers, you know, asking about, you know, the footprint and different things. So they're definitely thinking about how to make these boats, you know, more riggable. And they're I think they're, you know, they're reaching out and working with the accessory companies, at least us. I know we've talked to a few of them about, you know, kind of placement and things like that, you know, what ideal circumstances so that they can get some of these features into the boats up front. So, yeah, I think the whole thing, the whole package, the whole, you know, industry is moving in a very positive direction with that stuff.
Very cool. Let me go before it scrolls by me. We have some questions here. Hats and visors, so somebody's wanting some swag out there so they can get the word out if they're not on the water. So they wanted to know if you got any hats or visors coming anytime soon.
Well, we don't have any now. Basically, our fish logo, it's just the way it is. It makes it hard to put on a lot of stuff. So we're kind of dual branding now. A lot of people have seen our new stickers. It's just a font. It's a real simple, clean, you know, it just says Yak Attack. It's kind of a cool-looking font. Now that we have that, we're going to be doing a lot more of that kind of stuff. We're going to be getting some new T-shirts soon. Hats, definitely. Visors, yeah, well, we can get some of those too. I haven't really sat down and made a list yet, but I did just get in some Coolie cups, which is kind of a funny story because they were supposed to be here for the tournament, and FedEx said they tried to deliver them Thursday. We were in and out Thursday getting ready for that, so we must have missed them. But they came in Monday. Yeah, Monday. And I looked at, you know, when I bought them, you know, I looked around. I was trying to find Made in the USA coolies, you know. So I finally found them, and we got them in, but they don't have a bottom in them. So I've got 200, like, they're more like sleeves, really, than koozies, but... Anyway, they work. They're cool. So now I got to get some more. But, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of that kind of stuff over the next few months.
Okay, another question. I'm sorry to cut you off, but they're scrolling so fast that everybody's chatting it up in there. Are replacement parts available for the panfish mount, specifically the actual ram clamp? Lost mine when I pulled the camera. Oh, never mind. So anyway. Replacement parts.
Yeah, like the little ram connectors and stuff like that. Yeah, we have all that stuff. I mean, quite honestly, usually if a customer calls and asks us to sell them a replacement part like that, we just stick it in the padded envelope and send it to them. You know, if they've already, you know, put out the money and the resources to get the thing, you know, if we can help them get it going again, you know, we're always happy to do that.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. So, yeah, just get in touch with Luther and it sounds like he'll take care of it. What?
Seth Goodrich is the one who lost the parts for his camera.
Well, I wasn't going to, but okay.
Hey,
and there's another reason why I married her. She'll call you out on radio.
He just put, thanks, Luther. I will give you a call. He's not ashamed, Seth.
I got
Seth
you.
Seth Goodrich.
All right. I'm going to keep going here with questions because they're scrolling by me quicker than I can see them.
Yeah, somebody just asked Luther, tell us about the upcoming Yak Attack Custom.
There you go.
Yeah, so we've got two things going on that we really haven't found a good way to address yet. And one is when we have a product that's in early development stage, let's say middle development stage, it's not ready for an investment in a, you know, injection molding tool, but it's past the stage of a usable prototype. And a good example is these clamps that we made so you can put gear tracks on the Hobie Pro Angler side rails. That project was actually set to be in front of the new Mighty Mount. We had some vendor changes and things that kind of mixed all that up. But so we started putting out maybe a dozen prototypes or so a few months ago, like 3 months ago. Well, then our schedule, our mold schedule got for new tools got changed around. So we've got all these people calling us for these clamps for the Hobie Pro Angler grab rail. So one at a time, I was, you know, just, okay, well, you know, we don't have production yet, but I'll send you some prototypes, you know, and we did that probably 100 times. I mean, we probably sent out at least 100 pairs of these clamps, and then realized that that was becoming, you know, almost a job. Like, we almost needed a person to do that. And then the other thing is sometimes we have products that we're not sure if the volumes are there to justify high volume manufacturing, or in some cases we know they're not, but they're still needed. So we came up with this idea of starting a service called Yak Attack Customs. And the idea there, you know, there's different types of manufacturing, and some manufacturing is fairly economical and you can get stuff out at good prices and give dealers margins and all the things you have to do to make retail work. But then there's other types of manufacturing that are really expensive. And unfortunately, cutting pieces one at a time is the kind that's pretty expensive. So what we've decided is for the stuff that's in Yak Attack Customs, we're just going to have a different arrangement where we sell those items direct. And if some dealers do want to carry them, we just all work together on really thin margins just to get them out there, just to give people those options. And that's going to help us with product development. It's going to help us to understand better, you know, what's needed in the marketplace. We don't have to swing for the fence every single time. You know, we can take a few more risks that way, because if people don't buy them, you know, we're not making them 1,000 at a time. You know, we're making them 10 at a time. So it's going to be some of that. And then some people have seen the custom crate lids and stuff like that we've done lately with the, you know, engraving and stuff. We put, like, you know, some people's board names, you know, Yak Attack logo. We did a smallmouth, you know, getting ready to swallow a bait for Brent Schnupp. You know, we've done a few things like that. And that's the other side of it. After we put those out there, you know, people started seeing them on Facebook. We started getting a lot of calls about that kind of stuff. So, you know, I started thinking about it, and I don't have time to do a lot of individual custom stuff, but I have a resource externally that can do that stuff a lot more efficiently than we can here. And then I have for the truly custom stuff, like the engraving work, I have a employee. He's actually he's been part-time. He's going to be going on full-time in about a week.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm going to train him to do some of that kind of stuff. So be really good experience for him, be good for the kayak fishing community. It'll be good for us in product development, and ultimately good for everybody, because, you know, we'll end up being able to pursue a lot more paths for different products than what we can now.
More products?
Yeah. We're just getting started, Mark.
Awesome. Well, speaking
we've
of
got a lot
product,
of stuff on the we've got some stuff on the drawing board right now that, I mean, we took a, you know, a top secret prototype out to the tournament, and, you know, at a very close circle, some people took a look at it. But yeah, we've got some really, really cool stuff on the horizon.
Somebody just passed, and it's way up the thread now because these guys are all chiming in about everything great you got going on. Is can't wait to see the crate. So what's going on with that?
We have the crate design. Tina and I worked together for about probably a couple of weeks, stitching and cutting stitches and restitching and repatterning, and, you know, we ended up with something that was really good. We've gotten into we only ended up making two of the final versions of that. I have one of those here in the shop, and the other one's been out on the water with one of the more active fishermen, Chad Hoover. He's had that for a couple of weeks.
Who?
And yeah, who? So yeah, Chad's got a couple of suggestions that are really good. We're probably going to change.
He's always got a couple suggestions.
Yeah, the dude's an idea machine. There's no question about it. And really, you know, good ideas too. Chad and I resonate really well together. We bounce ideas well together. We You know, when you're bouncing ideas around and you know, there's almost a you know, it's almost like competitive sports in a way. You know, it's two sides and you're bouncing them back and forth, but at the same time you have to be on the same team, and that's not always, it's kind of hard to explain, but that's not always easy to do. You know, sometimes people, you know, get really hung on their ideas and they get their feelings hurt if you don't go that direction, and sometimes people, like on our side, on the manufacturing side, they don't want any input because they want to believe they've got the best idea already. Chad's one of those guys I can just work with so well, and you know, no egos, get all that stuff out of the way and just get down to business. So yeah, he's always been a good one to work with that way. And like I said, with this one, just as expected, he came up with a couple of really good suggestions. So where we're at now with that, you know, everybody knows we're stuck on the Made in the USA thing. We'll carry that one with us for better or for worse from here on out. I don't ever plan to change that. And sewing is a little bit difficult to find in the U.S. Economically and, you know, in large volume. And one thing we do know is that if we build a crate and we hit a good price point with it, which we think we can, we're going to need to make a lot of them. So last thing we want to do is get it out there and, you know, everybody wants one and we can't make them fast enough. So that's what we're trying to do right now, is figure out the manufacturing side. We originally intended to sew them here to get people in here doing it, but we're realizing that, you know, once we start crunching the numbers, we would have to have – it would become, you know, an overwhelming presence in the shop here to make enough of them. So we've found a couple of companies that do this. They do it really well. They do it with local networks. So we're pursuing that now, and hopefully over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have some answers on how we're going to go with that.
Very cool. Well, as always, we always look forward to see what's coming. You surprise me, like I've said a million times, every time I turn around and think you got something done, you're doing something else. When is the release date for the CUDA gear track?
It's the GT90. The current gear track we call the GT175 because it's 1.75 inches wide, an inch and three quarters. The new one is the GT90 because it's 0.9 inches wide. Basically, the width of that track is the same as the raised portion of the current gear track. So we still want a mighty mount to slide on it and to kind of interlock with it. So it's that width. We actually pushed that. That was scheduled for us to start on at the end of this year and to really have it going for next year. But we got so many calls and emails from people with CUSAs and now the CUDA that we went ahead and moved that up the list and you know, got the tooling. I think we cut a tooling order about 4 weeks ago. I actually had a call in to the extruder today to find out where they were on it. I know the tool is in-house, and they're supposed to be shooting samples this week. So we've got a build cycle of about 10 to 14 days probably to get a small batch in our hands and probably get some of those out in the field. And then probably another 10 to 14 days after that to get, you know, have some production quantities, and then we'll put them on the market. So, you know, we're looking at 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay,
assuming,
very cool.
Assuming, and this is a dangerous assumption in manufacturing, but assuming all goes well. And with this kind of stuff, generally, you don't run into many issues.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read that. We also had a question about for a native mariner, about any. Where did that go? These questions are flying by quicker than I can.
Either.
And Chris is asking for more questions, and I can't keep up with the questions that are coming in.
Sorry, Pastor, come on.
Dave, I know it was Dave. Dave, I know you're listening. What did you want to know about the Mariner? Mount for the recess. I got you.
Mount for the recess.
And which part of the Mariner? I'm not sure which part of the Mariner he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if it's kind of a very something that's very specific to the Mariner, this is exactly the kind of project that we'll tackle with Yak Attack Customs. You know, this is the kind of thing we'll do. You know, very boat specific, very, you know, niche. You know, it's got to be not so niche.
Oh, I know
that
what
it's
he's talking about. The grooves, you know, Native has the little track area that you can, their plug and play stuff. It's that little recess with the bar in front of it, like along the back on the Mariner, if you know what I'm talking about, the Mariner, the little landing deck, as we call it, in the back behind the seat. There's the little notches in there with the flat piece of metal for the what used to be the plug-and-play stuff that we used on the now I'm having a brain fart. Anyway, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, somebody, I think I had somebody else asked me about that recently. It may have been Dave. But we can, that's something we should definitely pursue. And, you know, get some pictures or something. There's so many boats out there, it's hard for us to keep up, you know, hard for me to keep up with every one to know, you know, what it looks, what the deck really looks like. So I'd have to probably get some pictures and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. I'll shoot it to you. I got it. But anyway, cool. Well, that's the custom side of things at Yak Attack, so.
Yeah, that's the, you know, and you know, once we get a product into that Yak Attack Customs channel and we find out there's enough volume to justify a, you know, a tooling investment, you know, then we move it into the regular product line. But as long as they're being cut as kind of one-off type, you know, or low-volume CNC machine type parts, then, you know, it would be more likely a Yak Attack Customs part. Otherwise, if we move it through our regular channel, just because of the way the distribution works and the markups involved and things like that, it would just be unaffordable, you know. So
right.
This is just a way we're, you know, it's, as I've told a couple of retailers I've discussed it with, it's not a profit center. It's not what it's about. You know, it's about, you know, trying to find some opportunities and then trying to, you know, we want to be the go-to resource when people have a problem to solve, you know, and sometimes we're going to, you know, we're going to make money on that and be able to grow our business from it. And sometimes we're not, but we still want to be the resource.
Very cool. Speaking of retailers, so where are you at now? Do you have a good head count on? You guys are all over the place, aren't you?
With retailers? Yeah, we have, it's probably close to 100 now.
Wow.
And we have a distributor in Australia. Well, Hobie distributes a lot for us. I mean, they move a lot of stuff all over the world. And then we have direct distribution in Australia, and we have a distributor in the UK. We're working on getting a distributor in Canada. But, yeah, it's really cool. You know, I remember when we launched that first VisiPoll, you know, I would cold call, like, 100 retailers, and I would get, like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 or sometimes maybe 5 that would try it. And this year we haven't called any retailers, and we've probably added 30 or more. You know, they just call us and, you know, hey, I've got customers coming to the shop looking for your stuff. And that's really cool. That's a really good feeling to know that people, you know, not just will, you know, will use the stuff if it's in front of them, but they're actually going in and asking for it. That's really cool.
Right. I know you told me the story, and I'll share it here because I always thought it was pretty cool that you had people that, I don't know if it was a cold call in the past or you just called on or whatever, and they turned you down, and now they're calling you. So your first question is, well, I asked you 6 months ago, and you didn't want any interest, but now all of a sudden they're calling you and looking for your stuff. So that's,
yeah, what I always want to know is what changed, you know, because that's important for us to know, you know, is what changed. And every time it's customers ask for it. You know, we have one retailer that I called them, like, mm-hmm. or called on them like 4 times. And, you know, they thought the Carbon Pro was probably going to be too expensive. And then when Hobie picked it up, they went ahead, they were a Hobie dealer, so they went ahead and tried a couple of them, and they sold them the first day, so they got like 6 more, and they sold those like the next week. So then they got like 20, and then, you know, then they just naturally added the rest of the stuff in, and they're doing great with it now. So that's really cool. That's, you know, it's rewarding. It's a lot of work. It's definitely, you know, I try to remind my wife and my kids, you know, because this is a lot of work, a lot of late nights, a lot of stress. But, you know, there's a time to to plant, there's a time to work the fields, and there's a time to harvest. And this is definitely our time to work the fields. I mean, there's just no question about it. But it's rewarding work. It's fun.
Very cool. I don't know how much you can put into this question. We're getting over 9 o'clock now, but somebody wanted to know, how does the tooling process work? So I don't know. I mean, there's so many things you make and tool. I don't know. When you get something you like, what happens to get it produced?
Well, it depends on the type of manufacturing that's required. You know, there's usually a die of some sort. For plastic parts, there's an injection molding die that has to be made. For, like, the gear tracks, there's an extrusion die that has to be made. Then there's programs that have to be done and fixtures that have to be made to, you know, have them where you can drill the holes and do all that machining, you know, economically. It's manufacturing, there's a trade-off between how much money you spend in the beginning and how much it costs to make each part. So we try to balance that. You know, we've grown our business with cash. We didn't have any money to start the company. We don't have any money now. You know, whatever we make, we put back into it. So we try to balance that as well as we can. We don't want to, you know, we want to keep growing. We want to keep adding products. So we try not to go overboard with the upfront investment, but at the same time, we have to do enough of it that the products are affordable.
All right. Well, very cool. I'm looking forward to getting up there to Farmville to the demo day. If I know nothing else, just at least drive by and see. I know it's going to be a crazy weekend that weekend, too, with the demo day and everything that's going on up there. But it'll be interesting to see where you're at. I know you're real close to Appomattox, so you'll be around, I'm sure, that weekend.
Yeah, I'll have a booth there. We'll have a little tent put up. And, yeah, man, we're 2 miles from the demo day, so it'll be no problem at all. We're just right in town. Like, if you drive from the demo day to Appomattox, you'll go right by our shop.
Very cool. Well, there you go, everybody. Come on out to the demo day if you're in the Virginia area, Farmville, Virginia. Talked about the other day, and I think Appomattox is still trying to do something. They have a little one-day tournament on Sunday, so we can all come on up and check out some kayaks, meet Luther, and see what's going on up there. So,
a variety of kayak fishing celebs are going to be there. If you haven't been, that's the place to come. And it's a kid-friendly event. Bring your children.
Yeah, it's a good little lake. Do some bluegill fishing and other stuff on it, bass. I was going to say, if you've never been to Appomattox's main store there in Farmville, bring a handheld GPS. Because when you walk around in the back there, I think you could almost get lost in that building.
Please bring your own worms. I'm not cutting up my stuff this year. Remember last year, all the kids were coming and getting my worms. We're cutting up the worms to go catch them some bluegill.
We didn't bring enough.
Yeah, either I'm going to have to bring more or people have to bring their own.
We'll bring more worms. We'll get somebody to go dig some up. Well, very cool. Well, we're after 9 o'clock. Luther, we thank you again for being a guest on our show and keeping your little Yak Attack, I shouldn't say little anymore, your Yak Attack army informed on what's going on. Besides for your website, where else can everybody get information? Yak Attack US, I know, on the web. Site going now. What's the web?
YakAttackForums.com. There's a lot of content on there now. It's been up for a few months. It's really rigging specific. There's not a lot else there, but when it comes to rigging, it's quickly becoming a good go-to place, especially regarding Yak Attack products. And then Facebook. We've got the Yak Attack Facebook page, and then I have a Luther from Yak Attack profile. I created that one because you can't interact the same way with a business page, so I wanted to have a little more interaction. So, all those great places to keep up with what's going on.
Well, very cool. Like I said, thank you very much for tuning in tonight.
Thank you
for last weekend for you putting on that tournament. Like I said at the beginning, we're sorry we couldn't attend, but as one guy and one family here that's involved with Hal and to you, I know you're a great supporter of the cause, and we really appreciate it, everything everybody does for all that. And definitely next year we will be there for that event, and hopefully some of these same people will be able to travel just as far so we get to finally meet them. So thank
awesome.
You very much.
Thanks,
very
guys.
Cool. All right. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to wrap this up and let you get on with your Tuesday night. Chip's putting up here. Thursday, we have the guys from Milk Crate Mag joining us from California. So you guys go ahead and mark your calendar for Thursday night show with Chip at 8 o'clock. Same bat channel, same bat time. Tune in, the Milk Crate. Last week, all of the Kayak Fishing Radio hosts were featured through the Milk Crate on their respective nights of shows airing. So that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that myself.
Dennis, hit the boondoggle button. So I'm going to one more time. Ready?
What the heck's a boondoggle?
Boondoggle. 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 What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
That's what it is. So you guys mark your calendars for that. Come on up to Virginia Beach or down to Virginia Beach or over to Virginia Beach, wherever you are. Sean, Russell, get another plane ticket. I don't know how the heck you got that Hobie Pro Angler on a plane and brought it to Luther's tournament, but you can do it again and bring it to Virginia Beach. But anyway, yeah, so you all mark your calendars October 5th through the 8th. Boondoggle, don't forget, I've already mentioned it, but June 9th, Appomattox River Company Demo Day, TKA's tournament's coming up in September, TKA.org. Thank you very much, everyone. Tune in tomorrow night, Landing Crew Show, Thursday, Chip Gibson, and now our West Coast show is on Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon. Which is it?
Sunday afternoon.
I should keep up with that a little better. And then you start your week off with Redfish Chuck on Monday. So, Chris, you got anything you would like to share? Any more buttons you want to press? Anything you want to hit these fine people with as we let them go? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, too. I say it every week. We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for you guys. You guys make make it a lot easier for us, and we appreciate your support and show your love the rest of the week to everybody else, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday. Hit some buttons and get us out of here, Chris.
Tight lines, everybody, and remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Safety, safety, safety.
Good night, everyone.